I want to talk about the secrets of scaling paid ads no matter what business level you're at.
Biggest obstacle is just ROAS going down.
You spend more money.
10 million ads are
being very low trust.
And that's it. So I said a bunch of businesses at different sizes asked me questions about their paid ads, and I'm going to do my very best to answer them. So from, you know, $10 million a year all the way down to $600,000 a year in terms of size. Some people are trying to start running paid ads. Some people are trying to expand or scale their ads and are running into particular issues. 650 dental recruiting. How do I start marketing? So you currently run ads for job boards. Where are you at? Raise your hand. There you go. So you run ads on job boards. So you already know how to run ads. All right. This is me trying to break a belief for you. So you already do it. You're just doing it on another platform. All right. So you're doing it in order to get dentists, but you're also trying to attract dentists who have clinics. I don't think it's, you just happen to be on job boards, but fundamentally, you can run the, I mean, dentists are also on Meta. Same thing. They're probably older, more boring. I say that with love to dentists. So I would look, yeah, Instagram, Facebook will probably do really, really well for you. And just saying, hey, I have a, like, tired of taking all these calls yourself. Like, talk to the pain point of that dentist. So it's like, they don't want to work weekends. They don't want to work early hours. They don't want to take cases they don't want to take. Well, or they don't want to, they want to eventually retire someday, but they don't want to let down all their patients, and they don't want to sell some private equity because they're going to force them to work for 5 years in servitude and control their lives. So these are the pain points, right? Layla's cousin's a dentist, so it's fresh on my mind. And so these are all the pains. That's my hook for the ads. And then targeting, take your customer list, make a lookalike audience off that list. If dentist is in the copy, dentist is in the video, the AI on Facebook will also know to serve it to dentist, and it'll be pretty straightforward. Bingo? All right. 600K acupuncture, start. Okay, so if you want to run, so this is local, right? Okay, so the nice thing is that local businesses are the easiest business to run ads for, okay, because trust is sky high. And you're like, oh, they don't trust me. Like, try and sell beauty to, you know, people on the internet. It's much harder. So all you need to do is run lead gen ads. So I'm going to give you the simplest strategy for getting this. Are you guys technically proficient? You are. Okay, fantastic. Well, I was going to assume you weren't and give you an even easier way. But all you want to do is you can just run lead ads, okay, for some sort of free thing. And you're like, I want really high quality people. Well, welcome to cold traffic. So they won't be. But what you will need to create is a sales process that creates qualified customers. All right. And so when I say creates, it's really just filters for good ones. Just think about it like that. It's just like I'm adding filters. And the more filters you add, the more expensive the leads will be if they're good filters. And if they're more expensive, they'll be good if they're good filters. If you add bad filters, they'll be more expensive, but they won't be better. So if I make it really hard for my page to load, it adds friction, but it's not good friction. If I add a VSL, so a video sales letter, to a page, it'll create friction, but it'll be good friction. So I'll increase the quality of the lead by doing that. And so with a local business, you're going to want to have, like, in larger national companies, this is where brand adding, the building trust, adding value first matters. In local, it matters significantly less. It is very offer-driven on a local basis because people know what acupuncture is. So you can say free thing or $19 thing, since you probably, your time costs a little bit more than maybe a low-skilled labor job. I'd probably go for the $19 to $99 thing, maybe somewhere in there. If I had to bet, $19 to $29 would be where I'd start. And what you do is you sell people on that. They opt in for it. Thank you page. They can purchase it. You still call all the leads yourself. You close them on the $19 thing to get a card on file. When you schedule, you'll confirm that appointment and that card's attached to that person. And so then you'll do the treatment that you're going to do, and then you're going to sell them the plan afterwards. Okay? Now, my preference here would be that you sell before you treat. If that doesn't work out for you, you can treat first. I just prefer to have someone in pain, sell them the much longer thing that's going to permanently solve it, give them short-term relief afterwards, and set their next visit. And then on the, like, when you do your actual sales appointment, the nice thing is you already have the card. And so you can say, awesome, so this is this. Do you want to use the card you have on file? Great. And that's the sale. Does that make sense? Okay. That's the acupuncture process. All right, 3 million. CrossFit coach, business coach, brand conscious. So you guys are doing, what kind of content are you guys making? Oh, podcast is the only thing? Okay. So you guys are doing podcasts, and that's it.
We have some longer form content, but it's primarily podcasts.
Okay, got it. Okay.
The business started from the podcast, so the podcast was first.
Yeah, understood.
And we have unique personalities.
Yeah. Are you guys barbell shrugged?
He was.
That was yours. Okay, got it. Yeah. Okay. I hear you. I never had a name to a face, but I knew the podcast. Okay, so where would I start? Okay, first thing I would do, same thing earlier, is I would do a retargeting campaign across all platforms. And the nice thing is that platforms are not super hard to figure out. They're made zillions of dollars to make them easy to click. If you already have traffic, so you install a pixel for each of the platforms on your page, you'll start collecting data from every single visit that's already coming from your podcast. You can start retargeting. So that's layer one. You should probably also earn your PPC terms. It'll immediately make money. Like, there's no PPC campaign for your own terms that doesn't make money. I haven't seen it ever happen in my entire life. So that's number one and two. So own your own terms, do the retargeting. Third thing is you have to come up with something that's really banger and like super, super valuable that you can give away for free. Like you've seen my stuff. So the money models books, the framework, the 11 frameworks for profitable gyms, all that stuff. So really put time into it, because I think people really skimp on this, and that's why people opt in. They see it, they're like, oh, this is shit. Why would I continue to book with this person, right? And so they opt in, thank you page schedule. It still works. Now, the thing is that you guys do have a brand. If you're worried about being brand conscious, all you do is just be true to you in the ads. And my recommendation is let your clients talk. So just let proof do the talking. That's how I would approach it. When I look at all the ads that we've done over the years, like I said earlier, 80% of them are about proof. And so as much as we want to think it's all about us, like, no one cares. Like, Alex had the big gym, I still do, right? The big gym company. One, I'm not in the ads anymore at all. And I wasn't for the last 2 years. And it was because we just focused on the customers, because gym owners don't really care about me. I mean, they care about making money and they're like, I'm glad he helped. But really, they just want to make more and see other people like them that they can say, oh, this is a good approximation of my gym. And so the idea there is you want to create the most compelling proof as possible, which is the type of proof that would be the least likely to be faked. So on this extreme, you'd have a faceless, anonymous, 10-year outdated, text-based testimonial. On this extreme, I would have someone walk up on stage who looks just like you, owns a CrossFit business coaching business, and says, Alex helped me go from 3 million to 30 million. You'd be like, fuck. And I'd be like, cool. So you'd be like, that's a really good approximation. Really hard to juke, right here live in front of me, not recorded, in person, specific to me. And so that's kind of the continuum when you're showing proof. And every takeaway, it's like, okay, in person's better than virtual. Live is better than recorded. Like me is better than doesn't look like me. The result that I want is better than a result that's close to what I want. And so you just look at all of the factors that make something super compelling. And when you're looking at your proof, kind of think through it, that checklist, and that'll make more compelling proofs that make more compelling ads. That you only lose trust in the marketplace when you say something that isn't true. And if you're not saying it and it's their fact of life, how can anyone fault you? 800K, vacation rentals B2B. So you're trying to get people who have properties to list with you so that you can make more money with their properties for them.
Correct.
Okay, so this will be really, really easy to advertise, because you're fundamental. So do you want people who already, okay, you don't want the extra room people. You want the people who have properties that are being mismanaged. Okay, and don't do anything in the meantime.
Exactly.
Okay, so I would start with, so one, I would probably still use Meta as my first bet, just because the targeting there is going to be easier to figure out. The ads themselves are going to be the same thing, lead with pain, like I was saying with the dentist, is what is the pain of that person, which is, do you feel like you're wasting money by having your house sit empty every year or every month as you keep paying your mortgage on something that doesn't get you a return, right? It'd be something to that degree. You would know the pain better than me, but that's what I would imagine the pain would look like. And so what I would then do is I would send probably 5 case studies of different representative houses and different representative avatars. So kind of the point I was making there with the CrossFit gym owners is that in the thing that I want to send is like, we're going to give you an estimate. In the meantime, I'm going to show you 10 representative types of homes that you can probably find one that's close to yours, so you can have some reasonable expectation of what you could potentially earn switching to short-term in the meantime. And at the bottom, I have the commonly asked questions, which is, are these people gonna trash my place? What's my security gonna look like? What if they don't leave? Cleaning, blah, blah, blah. Like all the questions that are gonna be there, and I answered that in the bottom there because we already solved this. We do this with this many homes, proof. And so we've been doing this for this long, more proof. And so if you'd like, we can give you an estimation of what we think based on your neighborhood, your zip code, and we can personalize our process to you.
Great.
Okay, that's the ad and the case study that you give them. So free download, thank you, Page Scheduler. Very simple. If you want, you can add an application. If you get too many opt-ins that aren't qualified, you can add more friction. So just for everyone, it's like, what's the perfect funnel? If you get too many that are bad, add friction. If you don't get enough, remove friction. And if you have almost no friction and they're still bad leads, the targeting's off. Okay, 2 million beauty, 4.6 ROAS meta. Okay, you guys are in Colombia. You're shutting down the other two countries that aren't working as well. You're 30%. You're at 4.6. Why aren't you scaling is the question. So the question, like, what is the actual question here?
We really want to scale like 5x the revenue.
Okay.
And we want to increase our LTV.
Okay.
So how would you like plan the strategy to do that? We're currently making like 100% UGC only in meta ads.
Great.
So we want to maybe test new creatives, new platforms, but how would you structure the strategy, the team to do that, the content creation?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's
Yeah. So two ways that you can scale the ROAS. So one is spend more, obviously. So I'm not even including that. But in terms of improving your ROAS itself, it means you either have to drive down CAC or increase LTV, right, or average car value. So in terms of driving down CAC, what I would do is I would look at the top, you probably run 1,000 ads over the last year. Look at the top 10% or 5% of ads. Look at the first 3 seconds of each of those ads and see if you can model those 3 seconds with all of the remaining ads that you have. You can even slice that first 3 seconds off of the best winners and paste it onto another 100 plus ads. So that'll get you 10, 50 times more ad creative per good winner that you get, so you can squeeze more out of it. So that's from the creative strategy to drive down ad costs. From the LTV perspective, are you guys selling subscriptions, or are you just selling?
We sell like devices and also cosmetics. So we have an IPL hair removal device, we have LED mask, we have LED like skincare devices.
Uh-huh. And you sell bundles?
Complimentary, there are cosmetics to those devices.
Okay, and you sell the devices, and then the recurring goal is that people buy the
other devices, because those are almost like a one-time purchase only.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So they one-time purchase on the devices, but the gels or lotions and potions go to on a recurring basis, right?
I mean, that's not our main focus, because they are like low ticket.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah.
The nice thing is that when it's low ticket, when someone buys a high ticket, the likelihood they buy the low ticket thing, if you bundle it up, is pretty high. So if someone buys $1,000, I don't know, what's the cost?
Like $80, that is a high ticket for Colombia.
That's fine, okay. So if you have an $80 thing, then you could still sell a $40 annual for 12 packs of the creams or whatever that go with it. You should just sell a whole bundle of that. Because think about it from the consumer. If I'm buying, it's because I believe that I'm going to do this. And if I am going to do it, then I might as well get the savings on the stuff that goes with it. Like if I buy a printer and someone says, hey, buy a year's worth of ink, and you, in the moment you're like, well, I am going to print stuff, that's why I'm buying it. Then, and not everyone's going to take it, but if 30% of people take it, you add 12 bucks to your ACV, and right there you've got whatever that is, 15% that you add. So that's one thing. Do you have payment plans and financing set up?
Yes.
Okay, so that's good. The big thing with, I would lean harder on that thing that I'm talking about with the creeps. Like think about the other things that someone who purchases this machine is going to want to buy, and still offer it. Like there's no point. And then just think about doing it in bundles rather than one-offs, because one-offs aren't going to make a difference. But bundling for the year will multiply this with any of those small knickknacks by a lot. So you might even be able to double for like the max cart, might be able to, you know, double how much someone spends, and you'll feel those pops. So I think between those two things, but I think as a quick word of advice, you guys are in the beauty direct-to-consumer business.
Yeah.
You are a marketing company. And so doubling down on creative as a discipline is what's going to separate you from, like if you want to get to 20 million a year, it's going to be you doing 10 times or 50 times more creative in terms of what you're putting out for output. And so that means having a better system for both capturing UGC and then repurposing UGC. And so for us, for context, we spend 80% of our resources taking winners and just reskinning them. 80%. And so you're getting all these new ads, but the real money is, okay, I have this one winner, and I'll give you a story. I had an ad that we called the Kale ad. So Kale was our GM, right? And he made this ad before he was the GM. And it was this beautiful, this perfect testimonial. And he couldn't have planned it any better. He had like the gym behind him. He had his wife with him. He's like, we were 2 months from shutting our doors, but you can see the gym full. He's like, and within 4 months, it was completely full. 18 months, I had it, you know, in 6 months, I had it completely outsourced. By 18 months, I sold the whole gym, and I was losing money. And I was working a full-time job just to pay the bills at the gym. And, you know, this many months later, it was all great, right? Now, when we had that ad, I made about 100 versions of that ad. So I made a black and white version. I did a sepia filter version. I reordered the back end. We swapped out hooks. I put different headlines. I put different subheads. I changed the fonts. I ran it with different ad copy. I will use and abuse it until it doesn't work at all. And so when you have your winners, you usually just need to run them way longer, way harder in a lot of different variations so you can squeeze way more out of it. Feel good?
Yeah.
Cool. All right, 1.8, private practice. Okay. So the question, what was the question on this? You want to scale it? Oh, the lead mag. Okay, yes. So right now you've ran your ads to application, so opt-in application, and that didn't work. And then you go freebies to book a call, and that's not working because your call team sucks.
We're running freebie to get people inside of a Facebook group.
Okay.
And then having a setter trying to set the calls from the group.
Okay.
But we're not, like, we have a lot of capacity for the setter to set more calls and for the salesperson to do more sales. So we wanted to do something that was more directly to book a call. So
mm-hmm.
Like, sort of skip the process.
Sure.
But every time we do it, like, it breaks. It doesn't work properly.
So it works, it's just expensive.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll give you what I know from group funnels that run on school all the time. And so there's four conversion processes from a group. So one is that you add a free onboarding call to the free group. So every single person that gets added to the group gets an onboarding call as a bonus for joining the group. On the onboarding call, you then clarify where they're there, label their problem, over their past experiences. Oh, I think you might be a good fit. Can I tell you about it? Great. Okay, cool. And then you sell them into the other thing. The second way is that you put a 5-video series inside of the group that functions as a VSL, but just broken up. And so you introduce the opportunity, your core story, the big idea, and then you do 3 stories, which are going to be their biggest belief breaking points. So big issue 1, big issue 2, big issue 3, which is typically universe, other people, and self. And you break down all 3 of those. And then on the end, you'll make your call to action, which is the 5th video, which is a little bit of stack, a little bit of sizzle, and you make the CTA. The 3rd one is that inside of that group, you'll do a weekly webinar where you provide value for the majority of the webinar and you soft toss the CTA. Your sales guys and setters are on that webinar. Anybody who chats in there, they can pull off. If somebody's like, oh man, I got this question, oh, that was so valuable, they immediately DM them and pull them off the call, and then they can set them right there. The 4th way is that anybody who engages on recordings or posts inside the group, likes, comments, or makes a post, the DM setters go in and then set the call. So it's 4 different ways that you can set from the group. And if you're driving all the traffic there and it is working, you just probably need to train your setters better and maybe have more of them. Yep. All right. $1.2 million VA. So you want to start running ads for your VA business to get business owners?
Yep. Yes, sir.
Okay. What type of VA?
So it's a virtual assistant, either primary or secondary. It's based out of the United States. We can do estimates, credit cards, callbacks, and for service-based companies.
Estimates. So like home services?
Yep. In home service companies.
Okay. So you're looking for service business owners like roofing, right, to hire VAs to do some of the legwork for their team. Okay, so the good news is that home services is pretty easy to target with ads. I would probably also start on Meta there, just because Meta's targeting is probably the easiest. TikTok is pretty good targeting too. It's getting much, much, much better, but I would start with Meta, so Facebook and Instagram. And again, the funnels here are just really valuable thing for how many clients do you have?
70.
Okay, you have 70 clients. And so what I would want to do is show how much money they save and how much more profit they make per roofer. And I would just literally explain it because a lot of people won't know. So it'd be like, the average roofer or the average home service person who has tradesmen who are going out are spending this much per hour to have the person do that, do estimates, do card checks, do whatever, the 3 main things that you do. And that means that per person, it's costing you $25,000 a year in labor. All right, now the thing is that for $500 a month, we can replace this. So take $25,000 and instead pay $6 per year. So you get the spread. You get $19,000 back per person. And so if you'd like to see how we can help you implement this, we will guarantee this result. And by day 90, if you haven't made at least 5 times the money that we've done, we'll give you the rest of the year of the VAs for free. That would be my offer. The actual creative would be you breaking down the process. And what you want to do is have some sort of visual proof that's like, this is what John did. And John made this much, you know, saved this much money. Here's Stu, and Stu saved this much. And just say the size of the business. So he's doing about $10 million a year. He's got 20 guys. And this is what he was able to save. So if these numbers sound at least interesting to you, we'd be happy to hop on a call. If you have a 2-call close, you can say you can leave your credit card at home. It's just to make sure it's a fit for us as much as it's a fit for you. We only take roofers above a certain size. So if you are smaller, don't worry. We'll send you with some resources that can help you out for free. But if you are above a size, we might be able to help you out. And either way, it would be another call for us to close. So you can relax. It's not a sales call. Cool? So add with that kind of copy and messaging. And then freebie thing that will also be a longer version of that with maybe some writing that gives some graphs and some visuals or whatever. And then you can have the thank you page scheduler for them to book a call. Still outbound dial all the people. You have some VAs. I'm sure they can do that. Call all the leads that opt in no matter what. And the nice thing with that is that if your VAs are good, then they can be like, I'm a VA. I could be doing this for you. That would be my script. Okay. Yep. Do you have an email list? Yeah, so if you have an email list of over 1,000, I'm assuming you do, you can take that list and then put a lookalike audience and start there as you're targeting, because that'll be the issue for you in the beginning. Yep, and make that the headline, like home service providers. Okay, 1.2 million in solar. What now? 7+ ROAS. Things are working. I'm going to tell you, where are you? I'm going to tell you to spend more. All right, so what's the problem? Yeah. So Google already really experimented with this. So the technical one is the better one is 70-20-10. So 70% is doing the main thing. So just the one ad that you have. 20% is adjacent to that. So as many different ways as you can think of, you know, versions of it that's not that ad. So everything that I see as permutations of that, I see as the 70. Adjacent to that, similar in style, is the 20. 10 is just wild ass ideas of maybe this would work. And so that's how you allocate resources. And I'm being super real. So if you spend a whole day making ads, so you spend 8 hours, that means you're going to do 1 hour, 45 minutes on your one idea. And then you're going to spend 2+ hours on adjacent ideas. And then the entire rest of the day is on how many different ways can I make the same ad per. And that's how you allocate time. It's the same way we allocate time when we make ads. We look up all the top winners. We start with all those. We hammer out all that stuff because that's our real work. That's the bread and butter. Then we move one. That way, I said it in reverse in terms of order for the day. But fundamentally, I want to get the 70 done first, the 20 done second. And if I've got time and I'm feeling energy, I'll do the third. All right. So $1.2 million in assisted living. Facebook and YouTube, they're getting 20-to-1 ROAS. The thing that you guys should do is spend more money. Because you have 8 spots left in your assisted living and you're getting 20-to-1 and you should be okay with doing that as long as you have capacity. If you know what your rate of filling people up is, then you can dial the spend so that you can keep it so it's smooth. Now, if you're losing money every month that those things aren't full, then I would crank it and then turn it off. If you want the waitlist thing, I would know that I only need 3 people or 4 people on the waitlist that they have to pay in order to be on the waitlist. Otherwise, it's not a waitlist. It's just like telling someone to go away and then assuming they're going to, you know, care about you when you call back, even though they've already solved the problem. Because they're probably in a market and want to move within a certain number of months because someone's in pain. When I say pain, it's a pain in the ass to deal with somebody who's, you know, you're trying to put into that. And so that is what I would do if I were in your particular situation. And I would go get investors so you could open up more locations faster. Check. All right, ding, ding, ding. All right, so $10 million, executive health. They're running YouTube ads. They're getting 10 to 1. These guys are spending $1,000 a month to make $10,000 back, even though they're doing a million-ish a month on their main business. So that means 1% of their revenue comes from their YouTube ads. And the question is, how do we scale? The main problem is compliance. And so they're in a health space. And so a lot of the issues in health, sometimes wealth, even relationship stuff, is the claims that you make and being able to support them. And so number one is there are firms that specialize in compliance audits. And so I go, like, if we have an issue, like one of our companies, it happens all the time, right? Ads get shut down because there's all these different automated things, even if you're doing nothing wrong. So you go to these firms and usually just ask them what their approval rating is post-compliance. Usually it's 90% plus for the good ones. It doesn't cost that much. It's like $5,000 or $6,000. And they'll go through, they'll audit all the sites, they'll audit all the videos and collateral that you use so that then you can resubmit. And they usually have some sort of internal Google kind of backdoor where they say, hey, we will make sure these people are compliant. They have a relationship with Google and they can make sure that you get pushed through. So usually, as long as you're not doing anything completely racy, which I'm guessing you're not, you should be fine. Great. $10 million roofing PPC, so you want to expand. So you're spending $30,000 a month. Which ROAS?
7-1.
Okay, 7-1 ROAS, $10 million a month, roofing, doing PPC, wants to expand, and you're in a local market? Okay. So if you're trying to expand there, first campaign I would run would be a retargeting across all platforms. So I would be retargeting on GDN, so Google Display Network. I'd be retargeting on Instagram. I'd be retargeting on Facebook. I'd be retargeting on YouTube. Anyone who's done a site visit, that'll be the first and easiest ROAS that you can get because you've already paid for it. So we consider that like the shadow funnel, which is whenever you blow traffic through anything, you should always have global retargeting across all platforms because then you can scoop up everything else and it almost always is positive ROAS. So number one. Number two, if I had to pick another platform, I would actually do Meta. Because obviously PPC is super high intent, so the lead quality is going to be lower on Meta because it's interruption-based marketing rather than intent-based marketing because people aren't looking for it when they're scrolling on Facebook. But a lot of older people are on Meta, so Facebook especially, but Instagram too. Instagram's got the whole gamut, right? And so people who have roofs to fix. And so I actually think it'll be fine that Facebook's aging up a little bit for you to run ads there. And since the average ticket's so high in roofing, you'll probably good. In terms of the funnel, typically, like free audits or some sort of free thing is good enough. And you can talk to them about savings that they're going to make if they fix their roof in terms of heating, cooling, all the other jazz that you guys do. And you can basically do that for free. You can send someone out. You can do it virtually. And then probably two call close. So set close after the freebie. Freebie is the first page. Call thing is the second page. Call all people who opt in for the freebie to confirm the call that they did. And if they didn't book, set the call. And then close on the call that's actually booked. So if they book for Wednesday, call them anyway today, confirm, qualify. If you don't have time to set it, well, you will have time because you're setting it, set it, and then close on the appointment on Wednesday so it can speed up the sales cycle. Great. Real estate, long-term rentals, investment, interesting stuff. So ROAS is down, trust is down, unsurprising. And so the question that you have is how do you increase ROAS and build trust for this client? So there's two ways that I can think of. So one is making content long-term is what grows the organic audience. It's what allows a lot of people here to even have the business they have. And you'd be surprised. It is slower, but over time it does compound and it becomes a pretty big stream. And if you know how to run ads and you can make content, that's what makes you a weapon because it's like it's crazy when you can do both. Second thing, focus more on proof, not on promise. Everyone makes promises, very people have proof. So proof, so if you think about this, this is a little soundbite for you. Your promise is not unique, your proof is. Everyone in the marketplace promises the same thing. The question is whether they can back it up, and that is unique to you. And so if you want to have a more unique place in the market, have more proof, not a different promise. Fundamentally, like all gym owners want to make more money. Most business owners want to make more money, or they want to save time, or they want to save headache, or whatever it is. Like the promises aren't going to be that different. The thing that will differentiate you will be the mechanism, how believable it is, which will be a function of the proof and the way that you're describing it. If you're like, oh, we have this brand new personal training model where you do 6 personal training sessions up front and then you get them into this and look at the economics behind it, people stay way longer. It's like, oh, that's a unique mechanism. And it's like, okay, that sounds like it's different than what I did, but how do I know it works? Cool, here's 100 stories of people who were in your exact position that made it work, right? So proof is gonna be the main thing. Now, the other way that you can build trust beyond the proof is I think group funnels right now work really, really well. I think that they're going to, I mean, the reason I invest in school because I think that, but group funnels are like routinely getting people from like $250 calls to like $40 calls. And I'm seeing this like over and over again across industries. And so the way that these funnels work, I already talked about the conversion mechanisms earlier, but you use the free group as a lead magnet. So that becomes the lead magnet. And the nice thing is that it functions basically like an email list with long-term nurture, but it's way more engaging than an email list is. And so people who use the group funnels Right now, just to give you a metric to this also for you for the groups, it's 10%. So the guys who do a good job convert 10% of people who opt in to the group into their next level thing. And so most people are able to close 30 to 50% of calls they get on. And so you can target getting on call with one third of the people who opt in for the group and closing between 30 and 50%. So if you get on call with 30% and you close a third, you get 10% of the group. Depending, obviously there's some flex on skill there. But that's kind of just some benchmarks that you can look at. But those would be the three things. So add more proof, make more content, consider a group funnel. Boom. All right. Thank you.